Matthew was born on November 8, 1972 in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, but we were living in Burlington because my husband had just started his job with the Nestle Company. And so Matt went to Sunday school and everything in Burlington until he was 5, and then we were transferred by the company to Marysville, Ohio. And then he had to go to a public school there because our parochial school was too far away. And during that time, for our family devotions, we used the religion curriculum from the elementary school so that they would be having that kind of training, even though he wasn't in a parochial school. And then we were transferred back here in 1982, and we moved specifically to Muskego so that the children could come to St. Paul's. And both Matthew and Amy went to grade school here, and Matt was confirmed in 1986 here at St. Paul's. And then he went to Wisconsin Lutheran High School, where he made a lot of wonderful, wonderful friends, and they were his friends for his whole life. I mean, he just loved learning. He loved to read. He read constantly. We had devotions every night, and we would do special things for holidays and things. And it just, I think, made a big impression on him. And when we went on vacation, we did them also. Matthew had asthma all his life. And we spent several times, we would go to the emergency room because, especially when he'd come home from Florida. Florida was fabulous for him. That was why he went to school there. And then he'd come home, and then it would just hit him, the cold. And so, like at Christmas time, I know Amy had to take him one time to the emergency room. On August 7th, 2001, it was a period of very, very hot weather here in Wisconsin. And we were camping at Ottawa Lake, which is part of the Southern Kettle Moraine, the whole family, Amy's family and our family. And it was like over 100 degrees and had been consistent, and that's really hard on people with asthma, is that consistent. And of course, when you're in a camper, you have no air conditioning. At least we didn't in those days. And so we were all that day down by the lake swimming, as were many, many people. And there were people from all over the area swimming. And my daughter and her and Matthew always went way out there at that particular lake and swam back from the buoy that's way out there. Her husband and their baby were with my husband taking pictures up on the shore. But I was in the water up about, I was pretty close to the edge of where it got too deep. And then all of a sudden, Amy started screaming, and she said, you know, someone should get some oxygen or something, because she knew he was having some kind of breathing problems. And she brought him in, and she brought him in, and he collapsed literally right in front of me. But there were lots of medical people there that day, nurses and swimming, because it was such a hot day. And they brought him up to the shore then and started doing CPR on him. And then Jason had already called 911 but Ottawa Lake is about 10 minutes away from the hospital in Oconomowoc. So it took a while for the ambulance to get there. And they worked on him as much as they could. And later we got letters from one of the men who did the CPR on him and said how hard he and this other lady, this nurse, had worked to try to get him to breathe, but he never was able to breathe. And they put him then in the ambulance and took him to the hospital, and he died then at about, probably, I think personally, that he might have died already when he first came up on shore. That was when he was, I pray that he lost consciousness there, so he wouldn't have realized that he was having so much trouble breathing. They came and told us in the room, where we were waiting, that they couldn't do anything more. And Jason had already called St. Paul's, and Pastor Bonac came right away. And when I greeted him at the door, I said to him, "Matthew's in heaven." And that was Dan and I, our comfort, as we were standing there looking at him in the, you know, emergency room. Amy couldn't go in and look. She was out in the hall, hysterical. But, that's the one thing that we felt was, you know, looking at him, that he was in heaven and wasn't having problems breathing anymore and didn't have to go through this anymore. The passage we picked was, "To live is Christ, and to die is gain." It's a Philippians passage. because we felt that was how Matthew had lived his life. And one of the things she, Amy, wrote the obituary that was at the end of the bulletin, she said, one of the things we will all remember about Matthew was his faith and how he lived his life so close to Christ. And so we felt that that was a good passage for him, was to live as Christ and to die as gain. As my husband and I are getting older, you know, that's certainly something we think about, is that we will see him as we will, you know, other members of our family, my parents and Dan's parents and my sister-in-law who just passed away. And that's what I think about all the time, you know, that when you sing hymns about saints praising God in heaven, that he's doing that right now.
Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom. Point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee. Life and death, O Lord, abide with me. For some of you here today, this message hits way too close to home. You've lost a child, son, daughter, a mom or dad, a sibling, a good friend. Maybe just within the last few weeks, or maybe even the last few days. And tears just come. Today, as we wrap up the family church message series, we're focusing on the ultimate goal of every gathering of God's people, of every family church. No matter the size, whether it's here at the Bridge, whether it's you and us joining together online, or in your small cluster of family members, no matter what the shape and size of your family church, the goal is the same. That we might experience not just the grief that Dee experienced, but also the hope and the joy that she experienced. And so what I'd like to do today is, I'd like just to acknowledge that here in our family of believers, we are going to experience horrible pain, but we also grieve with hope. Let's look at a few verses of resurrection comfort to remind us of the hope that we have, the hope that we want to pass on to the people who look to us as their spiritual shepherds. I'd like to begin with a passage, something that Jesus said in John chapter 11. He spoke these words to Martha, his good friend. Lazarus, her brother, had died, and Martha is pretty upset. She says, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus responds, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then he went on to raise Lazarus from the grave to prove that these words were true for Lazarus. And then within a month or so, he raised himself from the dead on Easter morning to prove that these words were not just true for Lazarus, they're true for us and they're true for Matt, Dee's son. In fact, we can put Matt's name into this passage. Jesus promised to Matt, "I am the resurrection and the life. Matt believed in me, and now he lives." And even though he died, and Matt lives and believes in me and has never died. I was there. I preached for Matt's funeral. He was dead, and yet Jesus says that those who believe in me never die, and his body will rise again. This is our hope. As members of Christ's church, as members of this family of God, death cannot separate us from our loved ones who die in Christ. Now, certainly there is incredible pain at death. I can't imagine being the principal mourner and looking at your spouse in a coffin or a child and to think, I'll never be able to hold this child, I'll never be able to hold my wife, my husband again. I can tell you this has been a couple of weeks as I've been thinking about this message as a time of lots of tears for me, because as I've given my wife a hug, I've held her close to me, given my kids a hug, my grandkids. What would it be like if this is the last time that I can hold my loved one next to me? And then I realized, you know what? It will never be the last time. Never. Apostle Paul wrote some incredible words. The Holy Spirit gave him these words to write, not just for the Philippians, but for us. He wrote, "Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." Imagine what it was like on Easter morning when Jesus' body came out of that grave. It was not the bruised and beaten and bloody and ugly body of Good Friday, but it was the glorious body. A body that would never experience death again. And imagine that you were Mary Magdalene and you finally recognized that it was Jesus and you wrapped your arms around his feet and wouldn't let him go. She got to hold her Savior again. Or later that night in the upper room, the disciples see Jesus and they're filled with fear. And Jesus says, "Touch me and see. Wrap your arms around me. Give me a hug. I'm not a ghost. I've got flesh and bones just like you." The loved ones that we've lost, who have fallen asleep in Christ, whose bodies we've seen in the coffin, those bodies are going to come forth from the grave, glorious bodies like Jesus' body. You and I will be able to hold each other for eternity, because it's not just that our souls are saved, but Jesus came to save us body and soul. It will never be my last hug. For my family who falls asleep in Christ, this is our hope. our comfort as a family of God. I learned last night that another one of our dear sisters in Christ had passed away 15 years ago yesterday in a car accident. Her grandma and grandpa were there at church last night and told me. She died way too young. And many of us have experienced that within our family and our friends, that he or she has died way too young. And that's why I appreciate so much the promises that we heard Pastor Nate share with us from Isaiah chapter 65. That there is going to come a time when we will see that our children that seem to have died way too young, no, that they are alive. And they will never suffer misfortune again. This week, one of our sisters in Christ is celebrating her 100th birthday. Isn't that, that's an incredibly long time, don't you think? 100 years old. Another sister in Christ died yesterday. She was 98. That's a long time. Did you catch when we heard that prophecy from Isaiah that, you know, what we're looking forward to? There will be a time when we'll be talking about it and say, man, Dorothy only lived 100 years. Isn't that short? Emma only lived 98. That's what we look forward to. And it's just as certain as Jesus' resurrection. And in that new heaven and new earth that God is going to create at the end of this world, we will enjoy an incredible family reunion. I love these words that were written by the Apostle Paul to the Christians in Thessalonica. These words were read at both my mom's funeral and at my dad's funeral. And he talks about how death can't really separate us from each other, that we're looking forward to a family reunion. He's writing to Christians who are afraid that somehow the people who have already died before Jesus is going to come back are missing out on something. And so he reassures them. He says, the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Wow. You know, we have this old cemetery right out here. You know what cemetery means, right? It means a sleeping place. When Jesus comes back, they aren't going to miss out on anything. The very first thing that's going to happen when Jesus comes back, we'll see with our own eyes why that place is called a cemetery, a sleeping place, because the dead in Christ will rise first. And then if we're still alive when Jesus comes back, after that we were still alive and are left, we'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. We will enjoy this marvelous family reunion with those who have fallen asleep in Christ. You see, not even death can tear apart a family church that is built on Christ himself. And so our whole point over this last 2 months as we've looked at the concept of the family church was the last words of this chapter where it says, therefore, encourage each other with these words. Let's not lose sight of why we are here, why we are here in this family church at the Bridge, why you're joining us online, why we gather together in small groups and in families to study God's Word. This is what it's all about. To encourage one another with these words that in Christ nothing can separate us from himself and nothing can separate us from each other, not even death. You and I grieve, but we can be filled with a joy that Matt is in heaven. And our loved ones who've fallen asleep in Christ, they're in heaven. Tears come. It hurts to say goodbye, but there is a hope and a joy. And if that's what life is all about, I just want us to keep this thought in mind, that we are pastors with a call to be the shepherds of the family churches that we're a part of. Whether it be you moms and dads, or whether it be grandmas and grandpas, or simply you are an individual that believes in Jesus and you know that people are looking to you and take their cue from you, and that's true even of you kids. I can guarantee you kids, your moms and dads need you to help shepherd them too, to encourage them. So I love these words from 2 Timothy. These are words that are read every time a pastor is installed. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Just remember, brothers and sisters, moms and dads, there are going to be times when you just feel like it is out of season. It doesn't feel right. It somehow feels uncomfortable. Be prepared to preach the word. Share what you know and believe in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Keep your head in all situations. It can be scary when you feel like I have a responsibility from God to care for the children who are under my care, to not only care for them physically but spiritually, because we want them to be with us together forever in heaven. It can be just mind-boggling to think people are looking at me and I'm not up to the task. Remember, keep your head in all situations. It is not your church. The bridge is not your church or my church. Your family is not your church. It's God's church. And He has the power and ability to guard and keep His church. It doesn't all rest on you. Keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. And none of us are up to that. And that's why in the next week we followed up with this whole idea of the pastor's power. Remember the power of God that is at work within you. That the power that God the Father used to raise Jesus from the dead is the power of God that is working in you. If you believe this incredibly impossible thing, that Jesus was dead and is alive again, that's because the power of God is working in you. You can't make yourself believe that. That's the work of God working in you, the power of God. And that same power of God that's working in you can work in you to be the masterpiece that God wants you to be, to serve your family. Trust His power to carry out your call to be the pastor of your family church. And what do we want to share? It's not that we want our kids and people around us to know the rules. We want them to know the love of God, that they experience God's love through our love for them, that they see that we want to know the height and the depth and the breadth of God's love that surpasses all understanding, that we claim that love of God for ourselves, that forgiveness, and that we give it to them. And we show that love by submitting, by putting the needs of others before our own. It is not about us, brothers and sisters. It is about people who are looking to us to be their spiritual leaders. Let's show the love of God by our submitting to their needs. And then I pray that you and I smell like a pastor. Remember, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about this Random Acts of Worship Kindness Fund. People are coming and talking to me about those seed packets. It's so exciting because our goal is that we teach the people around us that this is what life is all about, that just as Jesus sacrificed himself for us, we want the aroma of self-sacrifice that Christ did for us. We want that aroma to spread from us to our families and to the people in our neighborhood. Let's smell like pastors that way. And then I pray that we would be an armory, that this is the place where we put on the armor of God, that our families are the place that we put on the armor of God, and then we help our kids put their armor on too. Because the goal is before us. This is the verse that we started with 2 months ago. Let's read it together. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourselves and your hearers. This is what it's all about for us. To watch our lives, to keep God's word a part of us, that we watch what we teach. Because we're not just interested that we someday are with our Savior, but we want to be used by God to save our hearers. So I'd like to close where we ended. And I'd invite the choir to come on up and get ready to sing the last song. This has been an incredibly emotional week as I've gotten ready for this. I've thought of how many of my dear brothers and sisters in Christ suffer grief. In the other services, we've served communion, and God's blessed me to be here long enough that I know an awful lot of people that when they come up and kneel at the communion, I remember some of the grief that I've walked with them through. It's so hard. It is not easy remembering that every one of our families, unless Jesus comes back, every one of our families is going to be torn apart by death. But that we can comfort ourselves with this promise that death doesn't separate those who fall asleep in Christ from Christ, and ultimately death cannot separate us from them. We will be with the Lord together forever. And that's why I love this picture of this little girl on her dad's chest. If this has been a service of tears for you, let's become like a little child again and rest on the chest of our Heavenly Father and be still.